Welcome to Dessert Before Breakfast, the podcast where we review TV finales through the eyes of someone that's never watched the show. I'm Mike Darvell, and I've seen none of Lodge 49.
I'm Melanie Germain, and I've also seen none of Lodge 49.
I'm special guest star Jeremy Obach, and I've seen every episode of Lodge 49. All 20 episodes.
Are there only 20 episodes?
Yeah.
I know absolutely nothing about this show.
Yeah, two seasons, 10 episodes apiece.
Damn.
Yeah. It's a sleeper hit, I guess. Maybe not a hit, but it's a cult favorite. Can we call it that?
Okay.
I'm calling it a cult favorite.
Yeah, do it.
It's timeless already.
Okay. Yeah.
So, Jeremy, thanks for coming on the podcast today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Coming to you from Jacksonville, Florida. So, woo! Good to be talking to Canadians. I feel cultured already.
Yeah.
Jacksonville, Florida. Wow. What do I know about Jacksonville? Isn't that the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Yep. The Jaguars are from here.
Is that how you say Jaguars?
Jaguars.
Jaguars? How do you say it?
Horror?
You say Jaguars?
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 Is that what you said?
I said
Jaguars.
Yeah, well, I think that's right. I was making fun of Mike.
Jaguars?
The reason I know about the Jacksonville, I'm afraid to say the second word now, Jaguars?
Mm-hmm.
Did I say it right that time?
Sounds good to me. You passed the Jag check.
Is because of The Good Place.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Oh. Duval. Yeah. Shout out Filipinos on TV. We're getting represented.
Hell yeah.
What an amazing character, too. Not all Asians are smart.
Yeah.
You got
to break that stereotype.
Exactly. Lower the bar for me. I want to go in and just not disappoint people.
Yeah. And for me, like math? What the fuck is that? Oh, God.
But also protect our Asians. We're going through a weird hate crime spree.
Absolutely.
But not to bring things down too far. But y'all seen that on the news.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, bad day, right? Fuck that guy. Anyways.
Some weird baggage.
Fuck that guy.
Where were we? Lodge 49.
Lodge 49, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what do you know about Lodge 49?
Yeah, actually, can we do that one more time?
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. I'm just fucking with you, sorry.
Hey, what do you know about Lodge 49, huh? What do you know about?
For real, I know nothing about this show, and I think I know why now. It's because it's not available in Canada.
Are you serious?
It's not available anywhere.
Well, it's the first season is available on Prime Video, but the second season is not.
Okay,
for some reason. I feel like by the time you listen to this, it probably will be. It's probably one of those things where it's like, oh, like in a year it'll be up or something. But yeah,
they want to ease us into it. It's too much to take all at once. So they're
mysteries of the universe are what you're waiting for.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
I have a feeling that there are 48 other lodges, and then this is about the 49th lodge.
Exactly.
Ooh,
it's like a Doctor Who situation.
That's a good theory. Yeah.
It's just like it's like a weird, like, I want to say it's a suburb, but like of lodges.
Oh, like camping lodges?
Yeah.
Or beach lodges? I don't know. Where do you find lodges? Because I can't help but
like
think
on
about
the water, I guess.
Is that really?
I guess.
I guess it's like camp out situations. Yeah, like in the woods.
Right.
But in this situation, a lodge is like a fraternal order or something, and it's like their house or like where they
No
meet.
Smileys.
There's no point watching it now. People meet there. Boom.
Okay. People meet at the Lodge 49.
Yeah.
Okay. See, I can't help but think about Twin Peaks when we talk about lodges.
Because Twin Peaks has a lot of lodges in it?
I don't know. I've only seen the last episode, to be honest. Lodges.
Oh, you did an episode on this?
Yeah.
All right, I'll stay tuned for that one. Because I have not seen Twin Peaks past the first couple episodes also. So.
Okay, yeah. No, it's... Yeah, that one was fun, too. But I will say, you also have, like, podcasting experience.
Yeah. Yeah, back in college, I did a couple of podcasts. Fuck Outta Here, which was, a skepticism podcast where we're like, what if this isn't real? What if this isn't real? And then later, Bitch, Who Do You Love, which was another interview podcast where I talked to my guests about, like, you know, people that they looked up to, their role models, family, friends, and then, like, what they loved about them.
Yeah.
Just a lot of positivity on a pod. But, you know, I kind of changed lines of work where we had to do background checks. And I was speaking on some stuff that I didn't want to be part of the public record. So both of those are down right now. But I look forward to getting back in the podcast game. It's good to have some headphones on, speaking to y'all.
And this is where all the money is. Just
raining like, ducats.
we're rolling in it over here.
Ever since I started podcasting, like, I get sponsorship deals left and right. Nike's just constantly calling me.
Just Canadian dollars all over the place.
Yeah, all the Canadian dollars.
Yeah. It's like a scene right off Scott Pilgrim. It's people exploding into quarters.
You'll have Canadian quarters, or
yeah, quarters, and then we have $1 and $2 coins.
Like four of them per dollar.
All of our all of our dollars are actually coins over here.
Yeah.
Oh, neat.
And all of our $2 are also coins. So we have $1 and $2 coins.
But we don't have pennies.
Dope. Yeah, we don't have pennies. They're gone now. They've been gone for about 10 years.
That's probably the common sense move, huh?
Yeah, because it's because pennies cost more than a penny to produce now.
To make, yeah. That's crazy. I just went to a place in Jacksonville on King Street called Kickbacks. Socially distanced, mind you. Masks and everything. But they have pennies all over the walls.
Ooh.
It's a really cheap decorating idea.
Exactly. But I was like, this has got to add up, huh? Oh, man. Are pennies cheaper than paint? Fuck out of here. This is the kind of stuff we talk about. You're like, wait, this doesn't make any sense.
Jesus. All right, amazing. We're going to watch the final episode of Lodge 49. If you want to watch along at home, to be able to purchase in Canada, but not to stream. Maybe it'll be available to stream eventually, and we'll be right back.
Do you have a little unsolved murder in your home? Got some blackmail you want to unload? Are you the victim of some vulgar extortionist? I know a girl you should meet. She may not be the most well-known private eye in the world, and so what if it does cost you $3,000 or $4,000? She sure is sweet. She's Candy Matson. Like to meet her?
Hello?
Candy Matson.
Well, I wasn't sure when I looked in the mirror this morning.
Had a rough night, eh?
Oh, there have been rougher ones. Look, before you get caught with my receiver down, who are you and what do you want?
As to I am, you'll find out very shortly. What I want is you...
How romantic, and over the phone yet.
Let me finish. What I want is you to lay off that cable car business.
This wasn't the first vaguely threatening phone call I'd gotten. And I'll bet you $10 it won't be my last. But if you want the full scoop on this cable car business, head on over to Spotify or YouTube. Just search for Candy Matson 2021 by Sword and Sound. See you there.
So we're back.
Oh shit, we started. Hi, hello.
Hey.
Hey.
That was an episode of television that I had no idea what was going on. I think this is the most lost I've been so far on the podcast.
Oh. I am so enthusiastic about it. I just remembered how in love I am with this show.
You know what? I can tell why you love this show, because even though I didn't understand what was happening, I was on board for everything, man. It was great.
It definitely felt like there was a supernatural element in this show. And it did not show itself in the episode until the very, very, very last moment.
Yeah.
But like there obviously was hinting at it throughout the episode for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Some surrealist elements.
But it definitely was all about the characters.
Very character driven as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm highly recommending if you can binge the first season in Canada, then just to do that. Because wow. Yeah. I just came out watching that. I was like, oh my God, I miss these people. I miss this world.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the alchemical is what they flirt with. Oh. So rather than like science and magic, it's like, is it philosophy? Is it bullshit? Like, they always kind of toe that line that it's like, this isn't definitely real, but there's something going on here.
Yeah.
That's like beyond explanation.
Yeah. And I felt that throughout the entire episode.
Yeah.
It's great. And I loved like the scroll. They kept talking about the scroll.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that the scroll exists was a big thing. Yeah.
What is it though? That's like, is there an answer there?
Well, before we get into before we start asking questions, should we like just take a stab at what we think this story is?
Yeah, let's hear what y'all think it is, and then I'll kind of steer you.
Okay.
I feel like there's definitely a thing where the two main characters are like brother and sister, and then
twins.
Right. So Dud and Liz are twins.
Oh, yes. They're twins. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Well,
I got that. They said it in the episode, yep. And I took notes on it.
Yeah. So I feel like there's something to do with, like, they were in a temp agency earlier. I feel like there's something to do with like they are not the most economically sound, and then these scrolls bring them unimaginable wealth and or other things. That's kind of my guess on like what the show was ish.
So neither of them are really looking for wealth, so to speak, but they are both in financial hardship because their father, who owned a pool like repair store,
yes,
like died under mysterious circumstances surfing one day and left them in a lot of debt.
Right.
And it's the sister thinks that the father killed himself, and the brother thinks there's no way he could possibly do that. Like, he had a lust for life. He just drowned. Regardless, they're in financial kind of hardship throughout the show. But
That's why. Okay, so that's why going into the water is a big deal. I was going to ask about that later.
Yeah. They both have like a very, they just love being in the water. And especially Liz, she had this one moment that kind of highlights some of the surrealist elements of the show. They're in a warehouse, and she like drops to the floor, and she's like, she just looks up and she can see like the stars. And I'm really not doing it any justice by just talking about it, but when it happens, it's like, wait, what the fuck? It's like, what kind of show is this? Yeah. So they definitely play with that throughout the show without being like, all right, this is sci-fi or anything. It's just like,
right. It flirts with sci-fi.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But it's very much character driven. Kind of comedy, kind of drama. It kind of defies explanation, but So what do y'all think kind of happened with the episode? I think they were really tying a lot of ends that you didn't even see the before part.
I'm sure that they were.
What do you think happened in Mexico?
What, I have no idea. They mentioned Mexico several times, and every time they did, I wrote it in bolder letters. Like, what is Mexico? What happened in Mexico? I feel like they probably saw something surreal.
Yeah, but did the scrolls give them powers?
So the scrolls are supposedly like the secrets of alchemy.
Oh.
Like the secrets of like how to turn gold.
Something into gold, yeah.
Yeah, something into gold. And then in season two, some lady comes along that posits that the scrolls actually are like the secret to Bitcoin or something like that, which I was like...
Is that Janet?
Yeah, is Janet. That,
yeah, I liked her.
Yeah. Wait, which one's Janet?
Janet, she was in the white like business suit.
The one that was in her apartment?
Yeah, the one who just showed up in Liz's house.
Oh, so she is like she's like a big corporate lady who kind of latches on to like, this is her way out of debt because Janet has been running her company into the ground, but she has like a cult of personality with her. She's kind of a second season addition.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
But yeah, that was like kind of her long shot to like save everything.
Liz? So Liz was going to use her to fix problems, and then Janet was...
More like Liz is getting used by Janet because Janet appreciates Liz's like, I don't care if I die. Like, she's got this fatalistic streak.
Oh, yeah. No, I got that. The episode could, like, Janet totally was like, be my partner. And she's like, and you. So they had, like, a whole thing. No, that was really cool.
So basically in Mexico, a bunch of the characters who throughout season two were like having their own little arcs, and they all meet up to, like, try and get the scrolls from from this auction. And it was honestly, it's honestly more of a kind of grand conclusion than the final episode. But anyway,
the Mexico thing.
Yeah. Oh, okay. The penultimate episode is
them in Mexico.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha. Should we go through the episode?
Yeah. Go through it.
I don't know if I can.
Well, okay. I'm just wondering about Melanie's theories, or if you have any before.
What my I have no theories of what this show. I feel like I know that they were twins and that their dad died, and I know that it has to do with Dud knocking on Ernie's door is what changed his life and got him into this lodge. And then I don't know what the lodge is, though. I know that it has something to do with protecting these scrolls, but then they mentioned a true lodge, and I was like, what's the true lodge? Is that London? Are they enemies or are they allies between the true lodge and Lodge 49? Why are they wearing robes? Where can I get this robe? What's with the hats? Cool hat as well. It goes with the robe. Like, it's just, I was okay when the episode first started. I was like, oh, they're speaking and it's like a cult kind of thing. It has a real culty feel to it. But then as it went on, I was like, okay, no, they just kind of talk that way, but it is more of a sense of community. So is this just like a club and then there's actually like a supernatural type element to it? But it is just like a club.
It's a club with a king and weird trophies.
A sovereign, please.
Right. So the sovereign protector is like, it's basically like the club leader. And Lodge 49, it is like a club. It's kind of like, I guess, the Masons is the real world equivalent. But
right.
Yeah, it's kind of just a social group.
Stonecutters, if you want to go the Simpsons route. Right.
Whenever they allude to the true lodge, that's kind of like this sort of going down the rabbit hole of like, oh, is there some deeper meaning to the lodge? And a lot of times they're like, this is, you know, you're just kind of chasing shadows when you're talking about the true lodge. But it turns out that the true lodge is like the lodge that's protecting the scrolls. So like the scrolls are like the hidden meaning behind it. But for a while in the show, you're like not led to believe one way or another, like, if that's just someone's philosophical leading or always looking for a deeper meaning, or if they actually do exist. And I guess at some point you realize they do exist, but that doesn't necessarily mean the true lodge is, you know, meaning that the actual lodge doesn't mean anything. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it still has that sense of community that gives it kind of like that purpose, but like,
for sure.
Is there a deeper meaning to that kind of idea? Okay. I like that.
Yeah. I think the thing that I found very off-putting or weird was the fact that, you know, it's raining out and she goes in and she's like, I feel like I've been here before. And then she sort of falls over. And like at that moment, I'm like, wait, so like she seems to be like the main character of this show. Like this episode focuses on her more than the guy.
Dud, the brother.
Oh, does it? I thought it was an equal thing.
So it's kind of paralleling something that happens in the very first episode when Dud walks into the lodge for the first nine and sees the throne room. He says the exact same thing. He says, I feel like I've been here before.
Oh.
And then as far as her fainting, I feel like that's her and Dud kind of being connected. Like, when he falls through, I know they didn't cut it together so that they're happening like concurrently, but earlier in the season, they like suggest that twins are like connected or something, or when they're born at the same time, it's like they're supposed to be. This really gets into some of the weird philosophies of the show, but the fortune teller or whatever, the guy that she sees on the bridge,
Tony.
Suggests that twins are normally born on opposite sides of the world, and the only reason that they were born in the same place is because she knew that Dud needed her.
Aww.
So they kind of play with that throughout the show too. So her kind of going faint, I think, is them suggesting like, yo, is Dud in trouble?
Right.
I think what I am curious about is, like, again, a show that is called Lodge 49 and it's about this secret club. Liz appears to be a main character in the show, but she's never been in the club. Like, how is she featured in the show if she's not even in the club, if she's never been in the club before, if the club is supposedly like the focus of the show?
Well, probably the Bitcoin angle, right? Like with Janet and maybe just the parallel of the lodge and the real world. That's my theory.
I guess it starts with Dud's interest in the club is kind of how the show starts. Like, he is joining the lodge. Liz kind of sees it as like, all right, you're kind of like getting lost on this whole little thing. You need to like think about the real world. They kind of just have these parallel stories. They're part of each other's lives, but she kind of is pretty dismissive of the club, or thinking like, hey, are they just like trying to feed you something so that you pay membership dues all the time or something? But
right
after Mexico, she kind of has like this coming to of like, all right, this means a lot to you.
Right.
I guess if, you know, if you think it's, there's something here, then maybe I'll come check it out. Or I think she's really just trying to give him a ride.
Right.
But yeah, it is kind of interesting that she is definitely one of the main characters, but she's not been in the lodge up to this point.
Like, do you think that that's something that you wanted as a watcher of the show, is you wanted to see her like go into the lodge? Was that something you're like, oh my God, she actually finally went into the lodge after two seasons of it not happening?
It's interesting. So Liz had this whole arc as far as she's a waitress at like basically a titty bar.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Shamrocks. It's like an Irish themed one, where she's just kind of scrounging. She's under this crippling debt. At the end of season one, she kind of has this standoff with the bank where she's just like, this is all the money I made from tips. Either you release me from my debt, or this isn't, you're not going to get anything more, because one way or another, like, this is all I'm paying. And it just kind of pays off. Like, she kind of has this, like, basically, I'm going to kill myself if this debt isn't forgiven type of moment. But
does that work?
And it works. It's just like, holy shit, I'm going to write that down. Someone write that down. But after kind of being released from this debt, she kind of finds herself for like this want of purpose. And she has like this whole climbing the corporate ladder arc where she's just like, actually, I don't want to do this. But yeah, her involvement with the lodge is pretty minimal throughout. Like, she kind of has just her own stuff going on.
But like, as a viewer of the show, were you excited to see Liz enter?
It definitely was like, okay, is this, that's something that I noticed when I rewatched it. It's just like, they kind of do toe the line between, is there going to be a third season of this? They're setting up stuff, or are they trying to tie a nice little bow on it? Like, they know that it's done. And I'd already kind of, surrendered myself to like, all right, this show is done. No point wishing for more storyline. But rewatching it with y'all, I was like, oh man, they do kind of like hint at some places that it could go. But I never really was like, oh, Liz needs to be in the lodge. It just seemed
right,
like they just kind of run in their own little circles.
It's kind of nice that they have their own lives, I think, because mm-hmm. she was like, you know, how'd it go when Ernie got promoted and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So
there were parts of this finale that felt like it was a finale, but there's parts of it that definitely felt like they didn't know that it was going to be the last episode, for sure. And I feel like the ending is a big part of that. But there was a lot of exposition and setup of what appeared to be final moments of things.
Right.
Maybe I'm mistaken.
Especially Ernie's conversation with Dud.
Yeah.
Like the bitter with the sweet type of conversation. Like,
that was a great monologue, by the way. Just like, as an aside to the show itself, that was a wonderful, wonderful monologue. I was enraptured. I was just like, oh, this is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's like philosophical without being metaphysical. It's like, mm-hmm. can we have good things happen that are resulting of bad things, but they're always going to be intertwined. I don't know.
Okay. I have a question.
Sure.
The show is very philosophical, for sure.
Yeah.
Is it supposed to be a comedy? Because, okay, here's the part that makes me think that it's a comedy.
Yeah.
When Scott just goes into that bunker or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And then shows up at some person's house and says hello, goes back underground, and then that was it.
Yeah.
Has a talk with Ernie, and then there's like a montage of them being friends together. It was just like, that was, yeah, it was so great. It kind of shook the tone for me.
I love that moment.
It was awesome.
It definitely has these surreal moments. Yeah. Yeah. So it's like a crawl space from the lodge. It led to one other place,
to a bomb shelter.
Some bomb shelter that the lady didn't know happened. Who hasn't been on the show, by the way? So that was definitely like a, this is setting up for season three.
Oh, she wasn't even like a person.
Yeah, literally one appearance in the show, one scene.
That's hilarious. Like,
oh, this would have gone somewhere.
Again, that points to me as like a sudden cancellation thing. Like that felt like a setup scene.
Yeah.
Was it a sudden cancellation? Do we know? Was it a sudden thing?
Do we know?
So AMC didn't renew it. And I read that the showrunners were shopping it around and as of now, it has not been picked up.
Damn.
So. I see. Okay, so they that is very clearly setting up either a third season or like a comic book continuation or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a movie, maybe.
Cool.
Which is just disappointing to see. Because...
yeah, because that's really cool.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I have like my notes on this are just all
I have
look how many.
It's not necessarily a big on the order. Things just kind of happen.
I have a note here: Omni bonus squeezing juice. I don't know if that makes sense to you.
Right. So Omni was the woman in the white suit's company.
Okay.
Janet.
Janet's company.
Janet's company. Yeah.
Janet's company. So then she gave them a bonus.
Right. So Janet was the owner of Shamrocks, which went out of business. And then they were hired to Higher Steaks, which was just another restaurant that was like kind of glitzy and overpriced. And Liz was the manager of that restaurant in season two. But it turns out that they were going broke, so Janet and her lackey were trying to sell all the employees on having shares in this company. And Liz was like, that's bullshit. This company's failing. This isn't going to amount to anything. So Janet, like, appreciated her take no shit, like, kind of attitude in regards to everything. And basically, she got them, like, pensions or something. But the company ended up going under. So that's the squeezing the last juice out of Omni because... Janet was basically a criminal.
Right. Okay, wait, who were those two guys then with Liz?
The black guy and the guy with the mustache and the bald head?
Yes.
Yeah.
The two
that she brought into the, like the temp agency? Yeah.
Oh, the one that said commerce is an acid that dissolves human bonds. Send in the pods.
I don't know if he said anything that philosophical. it was the guy who invited them to Catalina.
Oh, Jeremy.
Jeremy, yeah, the other guy.
Right. So Jeremy was the former manager at Shamrocks.
Okay, so they were lackeys. They were Janet's lackeys.
Oh no, they're more like Liz's coworkers.
Okay, so she kind of just like took them under her wing, kind of idea.
Yeah.
That's why they're around so much.
She kind of inspires them.
Cool. What? All right. Who's Tarquin?
Tarquin. Oh, Tarquin is Janet's lackey.
Okay.
Tarquin kind of feeds into the cult of Janet. She's
Janet,
like,
is herself a cult. Okay. Tarquin had pictures of the scroll, though. Does that mean that Janet is part of the lodge?
No. So Janet kind of gloms onto the lodge because she sees this angle of, okay, this could be
the way to make money.
Bitcoin. Yeah.
Gotcha.
One way or another, it's like this could save Omni.
I thought the Bitcoin was like in computers,
like an algorithm.
Yeah,
it's like a key to the algorithm. Or
okay,
that was kind of like for me. I was like, okay, they're trying to like tie it into real world wealth rather than turning, you know, stuff into gold. This is like the kind of modern day equivalent of that. It's a little reachy, but
as a software engineer, I don't see how that would work. But
it's not like some long ass code that you could type into the computer.
Oh, are you saying that this show isn't real enough?
Well, it's okay.
Are you saying that the idea of an alchemical scroll compound thing isn't the way to solve Bitcoin? Okay.
Yeah, I'm confused now about what. So, like, there's supernatural elements, but then they're later explained to be real world elements, or they're still supernatural. Like, what was the deal with the blindfolds then?
What blindfolds?
The blindfolds was just part of the procedure at Lodge One in London.
Oh, so they just wear blindfolds whenever they meet?
Well, in previous scenes in the show, when they're in London, you'll see them putting on a blindfold when they're in the elevator going down to, like, where the sovereign protector of London's office is. And then they count the paces and then they go in the office. So no one's ever seen Melinda. But
is it like for higher up situation, or like nobody in the lodge in London sees anybody.
No one sees the Sovereign Protector. That's for sure.
Okay, so, but okay, and Melinda is Clara?
Melinda is Clara. That was a big twist.
Okay, was that known before the last episode?
I honestly can't remember. I think you don't really see Clara as Melinda until, I feel like you actually do know before the Indian guy knows, but.
Maybe in Mexico? Yeah. Because she beats him up or something.
So the Indian guy comes in to Mexico to take Clara back to Lodge One, because from the order of Lodge One. But she's like, oh no, someone must be manipulating you, because she doesn't say this, but because she is like the head of Lodge One.
Lodge One. Yeah.
That's one of these threads that was definitely not resolved, but I didn't think they contradicted themselves either.
Right.
At least not yet. So.
But there are no super, because like when I was watching this, I was certain that the Skrulls gave them some kind of powers, because they had the whole thing about, first of all, they had the whole thing about the.
You've said it three times and he said no three times.
There's no powers. It's like the Skrulls were the friends we made along the way. I really feel like Lodge 49 means
that. My question is about the Skrulls, but like, is there anything that is left unexplained in the show for you that is supernatural, or things that just seem unusual? Like, or is it literally just everything?
Oh, that's a good question. So there's the thing with Liz dropping through the floor of the warehouse and seeing the stars. Also, at one point, she like opens a door and is in the Arctic. Mm-hmm. And then she like comes back up to the second floor and there's still snow on her. So it's suggested that that was real and not just like a figment of her imagination.
Yeah. So it could, do you think that if this show had continued, there would have eventually been a supernatural element, or do you think it just would have just been a little like off? Like it always would have been a bit off. And that's kind of the point of it, is that it kind of veers into the offness, but never really becomes unreal.
I would definitely say the latter,
yeah.
But I would be open to some kind of grand explanation. Mm-hmm. But I just don't feel cheated by it in a way, because they never suggest that the supernatural is the point.
Right. That's really good.
Like it always feels like, whoa, what the fuck was that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Without saying like, it's clearly always about like the mundane, the real world. But then these things just happen that it's just like, wait, what the heck?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I'm never like, oh, well, why don't they explain why that happened? Which I completely was when I watched Lost. So mm-hmm. I don't know if that's just the way that they're handling it.
Or, yeah,
that's
I
true.
Mean, even in later in the episode, he says something along the lines of, I cannot believe the things I've seen and done. I've never imagined that I could have done. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like even then he's saying about things that are just so extraordinary and almost miraculous, but they just are just lucky, I guess, that these things happen to them.
Oh, and there's another thing too. There's a character, El Confidente, who's played by Cheech Marin.
Oh, nice.
What a great name.
And he can like, he has like dreams where he'll have dreams and he'll paint them out, and then these paintings will like come to happen in the story.
Wow.
And then like he says like, I'm getting paid by like some study who, like they're running studies on him to see why this happens, but they never explain it. Like, so it's kind of like the, like science is trying to understand it, but there's no real explanation for why he can sort of paint the future or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's cool. I like that teasing. I think this is the way, like, no offense to what's his name, the box guy.
J.J.
No offense to J.J. Abrams, but I feel that this is maybe the better way of tiddling. You know what I'm saying?
It's interesting to say better, because I was thinking about this. Lost was so massively successful.
Well, it's like a different way.
Yeah.
It was a different way of tiddling, I guess.
Yeah.
In a way that doesn't feel cheated. And then this one is definitely a cult following. When I read feedback on it, and my own personal feedback is like, oh my God, I would watch 8 seasons of this, but you know, it kind of did like less than 1 million the whole run through.
Right.
And I ended up watching it on Hulu. So
yeah, I think it's specifically because the second season is available in Canada right now that it's not successful. Like if it come to Canada, we would be all over it and it would be a hugely successful show. this should be a lesson to all shows out there that you should come to Canada, you know?
Yeah.
Come to Canada.
So that you can tittle us properly. Yeah.
They're ready to be tittled. Titillated.
I really, really like this. I also felt like there was a lot in this episode. Am I wrong? It felt really long.
Oh, absolutely. Because there's just all these little threads that were going on, whether throughout season two or even the whole show, mm-hmm. that they're kind of like tying.
Yeah.
And it's kind of novelistic in the sense that I really, just watching it a second time or maybe a third time, I was like, oh, wow, they're referring to things a couple storylines back. Mm-hmm. In that sense, I was like, okay, they're going to be completely lost by this because this isn't like one story even. This is like basically people's lives just kind of all getting all recapped.
Down. Yeah, mm-hmm. basically. Yeah. I mean, like, I felt like every moment in this show that I was watching, they said a name I didn't recognize or a moment that I didn't know about. There's a moment where he says,
it's a rich text.
I forgive. Yes. He says something like, she forgives you for seducing me or something like that. Like, that just seemed like a moment. Right. Yeah.
And then there was a knowing look from Liz, like, okay, Jeremy, that guy was into Liz and like tried to kiss her, and she's like, no, never.
And she said no, yeah.
And then of course the way that Jeremy explains it to his wife is going to be like, oh, well,
of course
you typical came on to him, man. Yeah, exactly.
Typical man. Okay.
But the thing is, you understand Liz and Jeremy so well that it's just like, well, we all kind of know. Well, everyone who's seen up to this point kind of knows, like, he's doing the spin job for wifey. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But that's okay. Any number of those threads. Like, yeah, I was like, oh, that's
okay. Checks out. Well, here, let's. Can Mike? Did you have something to say,
no,
or can you, I maybe go through yeah, some? Maybe go through some of the characters' names that I wrote down.
Sure.
So, Abdulia Bardwell / Connie. She seemed really cool.
Right. She is dope. Yeah.
Yeah, but like, when Ernie mentions during his speech of like rooms have opened and new doors have opened or something, with it, was that like in a literal sense in the lodge, more doors have been discovered or something?
Yes. So
okay,
doors have been opened. They, without spoiling anything, there's a mummy involved.
Oh, wait, what?
Secret rooms with alchemical equipment. Yeah.
Okay. Because the first time that we meet Connie in this episode is mm-hmm. is they kind of like went through a hole and then just ended up in a place, and we're like, oh, look at this place, as though they had never seen it before. Right. So, she's just like writing the newsletter there.
Right. So Connie was formerly in journalism, and then she gets canned in like season one because they're like streamlining, and then the newspaper ends up going out of business. Throughout the show, she kind of has a sort of love triangle with Ernie and Scott.
Nice.
Where, you know, they're both trying to support her, and it turns out that Connie is kind of having health issues, but she's kind of come out on the other side of them.
Okay.
And they also resolve the love triangle, too.
Right, right. Yeah, because Ernie and Scott are like best friends now, and they take ski together.
Oh, yeah. But for a while, they were butting heads, not only about Connie, but about being the next leader of the lodge.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. Yeah, that was really made clear, especially for their little talk. Because, right. mm-hmm. yeah, Scott was basically like, I thought I wanted it, but I don't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of tied up pretty nicely. Yeah.
Scott seemed interesting, but yeah, he didn't show up a ton in this episode. Like, I definitely would have liked to have seen more of him.
He definitely has a full arc in the series without spoiling anything. He kind of starts out kind of playing to type, how you'd expect him to be based on how he looks. And then, you know, he kind of reveals some insecurities, and Mexico is a big factor in having this epiphany like mm-hmm. moment. And just realizing what he really wants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice.
Cool.
That's cool. That's really nice that, I don't know. This was just a really nice show.
it's just a great hang. It's a great hang show, which is how I always like to pitch it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually a really good way of putting it. It's a great hang.
Like, they're not always having the best time. Like, in season two, there's not a lot of friction. mm-hmm. because they've kind of overcome all these things. But even when they're kind of going through it, you're like, this is just, it's like sad and funny in a way that I don't mind just putting on, even if it's like a long day of work or just put on in the background while I'm checking email or
freaking great, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can we talk about Ernie?
Sure. Yeah. Ernie's
specifically Ernie and Dud.
Yeah.
Cause their relationship seems like one of the like key, like one of the more important things.
Oh, it absolutely is. And they refer to it in the show as a knight and his squire.
Yes. Yeah.
So Ernie is the knight. And then
which one was Ernie?
He's the black, bald man with the,
right.
He became the sovereign, new king. The new king. Right.
He's the new head of the club.
Yeah.
King of the castle. But yeah, he was formerly in the Navy, and then he was like a plumbing supply salesman for years and years and gets pulled to the order desk, which is like how he started out. So he's feeling like his best years were behind him for a lot of the show.
Right. And so he kind of mentioned that he was in the lodge and then he left for a while, and then it was Dud who kind of brought him back.
Right. So he kind of had like this crisis of faith of like, what am I doing? I only have so many years left. I've wasted all these years thinking like the lodge is just getting people's hopes up for that. Is there something more out there? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he's like, I don't need this energy in my life. And then Dud would just refuse to like let him drift off into this like kind of pit of sadness, I guess.
Mm-hmm. That's nice. Dud just seemed like a really nice guy. Like he seemed like a really genuinely very nice person.
She's like hopelessly optimistic and just bringing people together.
Yeah, I like that.
They're definitely those two relationships, Dud and Ernie, and then Dud and Liz are probably the core of the show.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. I've had a thought now that maybe it's not the scrolls themselves that are giving, like, that are causing the supernatural type things to happen. Maybe it's just the lodge itself and like the faith in the lodge, maybe, or like maybe the community of the lodge. And I don't know if we need an explanation.
They pose a number of like little teases throughout the show.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Of like what it could be. And none of them have been like fully written off, I feel like. So yeah, I would be curious to see if they had another season or two of Runway, if they were committed to staying kind of like walking the line, or if they would just say, hey, this is this kind of show now, or what.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Okay, wait, what about Bert when they were in like the pawn shop?
Oh, the pawn shop. Yeah,
basically he was saying, I've been there since the beginning. The beginning. What does that mean?
Oh man, that was like, yeah, they just throw that out there.
That just seemed like the oddest conversation to have. And like, they don't. Like,
wait, Long Beach, California has been there since the beginning of time?
And basically, like, Ernie just stops talking at one point because he's so in awe of what he said. But then they just leave, I guess. Like, I was shocked. I thought they would touch on that. Like, Bert had been there a long time since the beginning. Nothing is simple. See a long way. What do these mean? Why is he saying them? Is he in the show a lot? This Bert guy?
He is the loan shark / pawn shop owner. Dud's dad basically
owed him money
and ended up selling his watch.
Is he the one that forgives the debt as well?
No. Liz's debt was with a bank, which makes it somewhat less believable, somewhat more.
Right.
Yeah.
Because like, I guess a large institution is more likely to be able to just swallow a debt than one guy. But different debt owner.
Two debts from this. Wait, it's the father had two debts?
Well, the father was like taking out debts to keep up the appearance that the pool store was doing okay.
Right.
But then once it folded, it left debt with the both of them.
That's really crappy.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Ooh.
Wow, that's a really like sort of dark start for the I guess it makes sense. Like based on what we saw in the episode, that does seem to be what the core of the show feels
right.
like.
Yeah.
So that whole conversation with Ernie is like Dud trying to square like, it sucks that my dad died, but then all this cool stuff happened.
Right.
So he took out a bunch of debt and then killed himself. or at least allegedly kill himself. We're not sure if he killed himself.
Yeah, maybe just under the mounting pressure. The thing is, he died in a surfing accident.
Right.
Drowning. So it's a question of, wait, he's a good surfer. How did he drown this one time? Or
right, right.
Maybe, you know, freak accidents happen. You know?
Yeah. So basically we'll never know, but it left his children in debt.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sad. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, because they had such an idyllic life before.
It's so sad for a relatively happy feeling episode. Yeah.
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 Okay, so he was the loan. I didn't see the pawn shop guy. I didn't realize was also the loan
pawn
shark.
Shop but
the
slash loan shark.
Pawn shop slash loan shark. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I wrote about the bomb shelter incident where I was. Who knows what that
That's
was?
That's kind of a one off.
Okay. Cool.
That little crawl space did also lead to another location in season one.
Okay.
Where it pops out by. Like a trailer.
Okay.
That where the former Sovereign Protector was living.
Okay.
But that was like a little season one reveal.
Huh. Yeah,
interesting.
So. Yeah. There's a moment in the episode where they're going in, like she's typing something under like a pen name or whatever. Huh. And to go into the room, they go through a fireplace.
Right. So that's one of many reveals with the lodge just having secret rooms.
Abdulia Bardwell.
Right.
That was a great pen name, by the way.
Quite a pen name.
It is very good. Abdulia. I love it. All right. Blaze. I want to talk about Blaze.
Oh, he just has Blaze not come up yet?
Yeah. Blaze has not come up. He was chill as fuck. He's also the guy who went in the room with Dud to speak to Connie.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of like the OG believer in like the true lodge, at least at Lodge 49.
Oh.
He thinks there's, you know, he's like the wannabe alchemist of the group.
Okay.
If I've seen it written that like if Dud is the squire and Ernie is the knight in this like kind of Arthurian fable, then Dud is like the Merlin figure, like the wizard.
Okay, cool. Oh my God. Is this Arthur?
In a sense, it's like a lens to view it. But yeah, he has a whole lot of stuff going on too. He had a mental breakdown.
Yeah.
He pulls a tapeworm out of his nose that everyone was saying was just in his mind.
Whoa. You, like for real? Is that a thing that people
can
do?
Yeah, it was completely disgusting. It just, when he's talking, part of it just appears out and he just starts pulling it and pulling it and pulling it. And all these people are like disgusted and like some of them start cheering for him because like he's always talking about how there's this worm inside of him. And yeah, he's like the believer. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Yeah, no, I liked him. He had a nice vibe to him. And then like when Dud kind of helps him rent this storefront.
So that was the former pool shop of his dad. Yeah, that's the old location.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's why he's like,
okay.
It should go to family or something. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Yeah. Even though he's renting it? That's bold to be like.
Yeah, so his previous place got broken into, and
right. Yeah, yeah. He mentioned like he was getting evicted and all that stuff. Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Well, I think we can talk about. I mean, I have like three other pages of notes, but
I'm ready to tackle all these loose ends because.
No, yeah. It's okay. I think we should. I think we should talk about like the big part now.
Yeah. For sure.
Because when, like, Dud. First of all, when Liz enters the lodge and he greets her, he just nonchalantly, the rain had already started and he was like, oh, I got to go put a cover on my car. And I was like, that is not the appropriate amount of panic that you should have in your voice right now. That your car is getting flooded.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of a beater and does just kind of a chill. No,
don't defend him.
Don't defend him on this. This is the same. So we just, like, you can cut this out or whatever, but, like, we just watched Supernatural, and Dean washes a plate and then doesn't rinse it, and it drove me insane. I was like, why aren't we talking just about this? This is just not cool. And it's kind of the same level. And then when he just decides, like something shifts in his mind or whatever, he doesn't even pay attention to the car, and then he decides that this is the time to go dig a pool. And I get that the pool probably has like it's something to do with his dad because his dad cleaned pools and stuff,
right?
Like
why at that moment
during a thunderstorm?
Yeah. But when he said he would be right back.
Also, true. He's a big old liar to his sister, apparently.
That's completely indefensible, actually. Yeah. It's not like you can do it in 5 minutes. Like,
yeah. So I don't know what happened in the very last moment. We could talk about that in a second. But like, it's also kind of a moment where I was like, oh my God, he's going to drown and then she's never going to find his body. And he would have just disappeared. And that would have been that. He dug his own grave and died in it.
Yeah.
But I don't, then the very last moment just sort of made things confusing. I don't understand what that was.
I think I have a theory. I have a theory, and it's because so for people who haven't watched it, basically what happened is he was digging that hole to build a pool, and then he got struck by lightning because he was shoveling like an idiot in the thunderstorm. He falls down seemingly dead, gets taken in by all of this mud, and then it covers him completely. And then suddenly, where his car is, he comes out of the wall and just falls down.
A second story door that leads to basically the parking lot.
Yeah. And when that happened, we didn't have cameras on for this, but I screamed. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, but was that him though, or was that just a different random body?
It was him.
It was? Yeah. Okay. It happened so quickly. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
My theory is that the lodge is what kept him alive. Because he came at like that, like technically that wall is part of the lodge, right?
Right.
Again, it's so weird for a show that doesn't seem to have supernatural elements to have an element like this in its very last moment.
They're always flirting with it, but let me tie up a couple of things. So you know how I said that crawl space that Scott came into some random person's yard?
Yeah.
And how that crawl space led to a second, a first location.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
With the trailer. And that yard was where Dud was digging a pool. It still doesn't make sense as far as going down and then you appear there. Maybe it landslid him to it, but... There is a precedence of a connection from the lodge through a crawl space to this yard, this plot of land.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
As far as if gravity would take you, I don't know about that.
I think I got to believe that there's some supernatural element as well.
They're definitely hinting at it.
What you're saying about the crawl space is like confusing me because like when you mentioned it, it didn't sound like it was supernatural. But then in reality, you have like... crawl space and then
like brick door,
it goes into yeah, crawl space and then yard and then crawl space and then trailer, but there isn't like paths like it. For me, I just figured, oh, there's probably two different paths that they went, one that went to the trailer and one that went to the yard, but I guess we don't see those paths.
Yeah, you never see the paths.
But you're saying no, they went through the crawl space and then immediately were in the yard, like they didn't move at all, they just went through the crawl space and they're in the yard.
Yeah.
That's how you think it happened.
They're connected in some way. You never
magically
see another crawl space, though. Yeah.
Magically, I bet.
Yeah.
Very
okay.
much the island of the yeah. What does it mean?
What does it mean? Yeah, I'm just, that was, it just confused me. Because if he, like, I had that sense of finality when he got struck by lightning.
Right.
He's gonna drown and die, and that this is gonna be the ending. And then his sister will have kind of taken his place.
Right.
Kind of, because she had entered the lodge as well. And then that happened, and I was like, what? and then now we are here, right? Like, I was floored. I honestly, that was awesome. Whether I have an answer or not, that was awesome.
Now, from a narrative sense, would you agree that it would make more sense if Dud is dead for season 3? He's just leaving season 2 on such a happy note, such a resolved note with everyone that... it almost seems like, hey, remember how Dud almost died? That was close. It almost seems like we're mourning Dud is the impetus of season 3.
The thing is, though, that he fell from a second story head first, so he could probably still be dead.
Exactly. It's maybe a not for sure dead type of fall.
Yeah, there. It's,
it could go either way.
Yeah. It could go either. Like, he was struck by lightning, and then he basically, like, caved his skull in. But the humans are resilient, and he could totally survive that.
Especially if they're a main character of a series. They're very resilient. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And also, like, the biggest actor on the show, as far as I know. I mean, Cheech Marin's pretty big.
Another thing I noticed in the credits was that Paul Giamatti's an executive producer on this. Like, does he show up in the show at all?
That's the thing. He's a huge part of season two. And he is in the last episode as well, the previous episode, as this this author, like a big time author in this universe.
He's
super eccentric, such a fun character.
Nice.
And it's really tough that I was like,
We're missing him. Dang.
Yeah. Because his arc really comes to a head in bringing everybody together for the Mexico trip.
Nice.
So what does the show mean to you, Jeremy?
Yeah.
This show means to me, I kind of touched on it a little bit before, but it's a great hangout show. These people who seem to find trouble fitting in other places kind of find each other, which I find really beautiful. Kind of genre defying, and one that it's not explicitly aspirational, but I would like to find a community like this. You know what I mean? I did the fraternity thing in college, but that kind of came and went, and it seems like this, they find each other in a sense. And also, like, kind of hinting at, is there something bigger than this, which is something that I wonder as well. So a lot of it kind of, mm-hmm. it checks a lot of my boxes, I would say. And I felt like it was important to advocate for, because it's just, it's really underrated. It just didn't catch a big following.
Yeah.
You know, AMC is not the biggest network out there besides the Walking Dead series. And one that I don't find difficulty rewatching. So the music's awesome as well. It's kind of this mix of, you know, surf rock and kind of off the beaten path, kind of indie rock.
Oh, that seems neat.
So definitely something that is,
I like those things,
kind of a fun moving wallpaper as well.
Yeah.
So you can treat it like that meets the mystery box light elements without feeling cheated, like we kind of mentioned before.
Yeah, J.J. Abrams, take this out, Callan, please. Yeah, J.J. Thank you.
And then it just kind of strikes a really different tone. I watch a lot of different types of shows, so I feels like it has a place in my diet. You know what I mean?
Nice.
So TV lovers, I think, will like it. I think I saw Wyatt Russell refer to it as a person without a TV's favorite TV show. I don't know how to take that, but
that's good. That's a great way of putting it, actually. I agree.
It doesn't have necessarily artificial cliffhangers, you know, finale notwithstanding.
Yeah.
They're okay with, like, resolving things in the middle of an episode as well, which is cool.
Yeah, it felt very natural. Like, everything that happened in the episode felt like it was happening at a natural moment, and it felt like things are organically sort of, you know, structured. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
some beautiful shots as well, some stuff that they'll dip into the surreal. It's just like, whoa, what was that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like that shot when they were, like, both in the water and then just looking up at the sky. It was gorgeous. Yeah, awesome.
So yeah, Lodge 49, check it out, people.
All right, so time to review the episode. I think that this episode was, I really enjoyed watching this episode. I was lost most of the time. It was probably the most challenging time I've had on this show, deciphering what was going on. The conversation we had afterwards helped me bring a lot of context to it. But I mean, I thought it was fine. I don't think it was necessarily the show's fault as much as, like, this was an epilogue sort of wrapping things up episode. And it was hard for me to get a read on what the show was from this episode. So I think I'll give it 7 name drops that mean nothing to me out of 10.
Lovely. Well, okay, here's the thing. I freaking love this. This is great. Jeremy, you're so right. It is genre defining, or defying. Yeah. And, like, I love all the little mysteries and the puzzles, and, like, the supernatural elements to it were freaking amazing. Like, for me, it's, I got to give it 10 slides in a bedroom out of 10, which we did not touch on, but that was funny for, like, why was it there? I don't know. Good times.
I really agree with Mike in that it definitely has an epilogue type of feel, and definitely has a novelistic sense throughout the show of pace. It's, seeing all these characters again was great, and seeing, especially with my context, seeing what they overcame and kind of coming to this point of rest, or, you know, if there's nothing more than, you know, leaving them here, I'll have to give it 8 out of 10 Sovereign Protectors. And ooh, I just want to say, if this was the epilogue, the episode before this has got to be one of my favorite episodes of television, period, because it's almost like a little mini movie of like them coming together in Mexico, accomplishing this quest, and
just watch it. Watch it.
Yeah, that would be a 10 out of 10, but this is an 8 out of 10. And I'm just going to be wistfully thinking about what could have been. But, you know, things happen. It's a grand streaming universe out here. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
if they were to bring it back, I'd be all over it.
Maybe there's talks of bringing it back. Who knows?
Yeah.
So you recommend it then?
I do recommend
it. I'm kidding. You've been praising it this entire time. Of course,
I'm not that critical with this show.
Usually, actually, you know what? On second thought,
now this was crap. Don't watch it.
There's better shows out there.
Don't bother. Yeah. You know,
you could rewatch Modern Family again.
If everyone watched the show, I wouldn't be a cool hipster anymore.
Exactly. They're taking my card away.
Wham.
Well, so the next question is, if we go back and watch this show, I am kind of on the fence. I think I probably would. I think I'm definitely leaning on the side of I would go watch this show, because, like, I think that I got an explanation of what happened, but I really didn't understand anything. So if I watch the show, it'd be like I never watched this episode.
Nice.
Yeah, what do you think, Melanie?
Let me think. Yes, of course I would watch the show. I would love every second of it, and I want more. I want more content. I want give it to me. Mm-hmm. Come to Canada already.
That's so funny. The second season is not out here.
You can just bring it on DVD or something.
I'm really going to look into getting it on DVD for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and speaking of DVDs, I don't know how to segue this. Send us a voicemail.
Speaking of DVDs, send us a voicemail. Michael.
Okay, Melanie, you try it.
You want me? Okay, same prompt?
Same prompt, go.
Speaking of DVDs,
yeah,
if you like watching stuff, you should listen to this. And it's hard to do. Why would you start with a prompt of DVD? That's not fair.
No, it was the last thing.
It was the last thing.
Speaking of DVDs, why don't you check out the Dessert Before Breakfast feed?
That was okay. That was okay. Yeah, I mean, I appreciate the effort.
It's a bunt.
Speaking of DVDs, you know what's not a thing anymore? DVDs. You know what is a thing now? iTunes. And we have our podcast on iTunes, and you should rate
there
it there.
It is. That's the one.
Got it.
We got it, guys. Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me, you guys. This was so much fun.
Yeah. Thanks for coming, cousin. I actually don't think we talked about how we know each other, but like,
you're my
cousin. We're good.
Yeah. Yeah, that you call.
Yes. Yeah.
We're cousins. We're related by blood. Yeah.
By blood.
By blood.
I think we've only met in person like once though, right?
One time. Yeah. I came down to Vancouver. What is it, like 2 or 3 years ago?
Yeah, something like that. Before the dark times, mm-hmm, is all I know. But yeah, that was fun. We went to a drum circle.
Oh my God, that was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy.
We'll have more of those.
Vancouver seems like a lot of fun. Or after the pandemic, I'm sure it'll be more fun.
It's not fun right now, but it will be.
It was and shall be again. Yes.
The prophecy has foretold.
Oh, wonderful. Well, yes, cousin, you're definitely invited to come visit, along with Lodge 49, the second season. And like and subscribe, guys.
Hit the plug.
Dessert Before Breakfast is hosted by Mike Dorval and Melanie Germain. Editing by me, Callan Dorval. Music by The Brass Action. Send us a voice message by using the link in the description or email us at dessertbeforebreakfast@gmail.com.